Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Croppens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for this video you sent me. Just got a text, and it was from you. It's a little family of pigs running through a field.
Yep. Yep. Just some good wholesome entertainment.
You know the way to warm my heart, little pigs.
I saw it,
and I was like, this is for Ronnie. Following each other in a field. Yes, that is for me.
The little family of pigs.
Made me so happy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, welcome to the show. I've got bad news for everybody. It's the final day of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Guys, how are you going to make it the rest of the year without listening to Dorit and Kyle and Erica bitch about being late? How are we going to do it, guys?
Yeah.
How you feel?
Yeah. I mean, this is it. This is the last chance to complain about Dorit being late. And next season, she'll be on time all the time. And I'm looking forward to that. An on-time Dorit, right?
Yeah. Well, we're doing a cabaret in New York City. There's only about 4 tables left, so you need to go get them if you want to come to it. Okay? That is on, well, we're doing 3, but the one with tickets available is on June 5th at 9:30 p.m., New York City, Cabaret 42. There are also 2 other shows. There's one at 7 p.m. that night. There's one on June 3rd at 7. Those are sold out, but there will be streaming tickets available for all 3 of the shows. So if you'd like to watch one or all 3, go get streaming tickets. You can find links for that on our website or on our Instagram, link in bio. Okay. We look forward to seeing you guys there. We're having so much fun getting it all together. And also, if you want this recap on video or you want bonus episodes or you want ad-free listening and all of that good stuff, go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Okay. Today is part 3 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 15, reunion.
Here it is. Well, we pick up exactly where we left off, which is Dorit and Erica and Kyle squabbling, specifically Dorit and Erica at this moment. And Dorit she's really on one. She's on one in a way that we've really never seen her at a reunion. I mean, she'll be feisty at a reunion, but she was really she was going for it the entire time. She was just being so sarcastic the entire time. She's like, do I really look like I'm someone? Who cares what you think about right now? Like, that was like her vibe the entire time.
Her eyes popping out of her head, sucking on that little candy. Just those eyes were a popping. Yeah, they gave her first chair, and she's really running with that. She's like, I am first chair, Coil. First chair. And everybody better listen to what I see. She's really into it. By the way, it's really early, which is why my voice will not work. But she's really going for it with that first chair. I don't know. Erica's really kind of going for it for Erica. Erica even tried to pretend she had feelings today, which was so fucking funny. I love when Erica pretends that she's not a robot. And today she just completely blanked out in her face. And I thought, is Erica having a stroke? And then she was like, very upset. She was trying to cry. I know. It was so good. That was the best part of the reunion for me, was Erica trying to feel things. I was like, Erica, you don't need to pretend around us, okay? I don't even know what I would do with a feeling, Erica. I like robot Erica. And like when she cries, she's like one of those little baby dolls that you put water in so that they pee-pee. You know, they go pee-pee, Betsy Wetsy or whatever they're called. She's like that, but like for tears, you know, and she always gets lots of, you know, eyeliner on her eyes to make sure we think that she's really got real tears coming out. It was very, very dramatic. Very good. So I loved it. Yeah. Thanks for the effort, E.
Yeah. Thanks for the great effort. So Dorit and Erica are talking about, they're going back and forth about Italy, and Dorit's like, Erica, what were you hurt by? She's, well, something you said at the table. You said, why are you trying to save yourself? You're doing this to save yourself. And he's like, oh, so she said, you're coming after me to save your job. Yes. And your job on this show. Yes. Not your job doing something. Andy, she has no other job.
What's her other job, Andy? it's my job at the Dollar Tree, Andy. That's what I'm worried about. Okay.
So that's what hurt you. That's what hurt you, eh? Well, the most. You could call me a cup fitness all day. That didn't really work out of everything else, you know? That was the one thing that turned me completely out. Because it's not true, and it's hurtful, and that touches such a tender point in all of us when you're trying to be open and vulnerable, when you're trying to tell your story. But yeah, it's something, I didn't like it. It didn't sit well with me then. It doesn't sit well with me now.
I like when they showed a clip of Erica saying the same thing to people. Like, yeah, she's trying to save her job.
Right. You know, she's like, I like that Erica's saying how when you're trying to be open and vulnerable and try to tell your story. What story was Erica telling this season?
Well, she told the TV thing, which was a super sad story. Oh, so I don't want to take away from that. But I will say that when she mentioned that last week, she was like, how dare you accuse me of not having a storyline? I did my DV thing. Like it was a number at a show. That, like, hey, I did my DV. I pulled out my old DV number. How dare you?
My DV thing. No, I guess I meant more like what I was thinking about, sort of general storylines from the season. Yeah. She had a moment where she shared that for sure. But like she didn't like what was her general storylines, that she was dating a guy that we never saw. And it was just like, well actually, I'm sorry. We saw him on FaceTime at the very last party of the season, but like she had no main storyline. And by the way, for the record, I'm okay with that. I think we can normalize people just not having major storylines for season. Not every single person needs to have a storyline, because then you get stuck watching like stupid scenes of people gardening or whatever. But
well, listen, that's how I live my life. I don't need a storyline and I never have one. You know, I feel like we should be free to live like that in real life too. You know, what's your storyline? Nothing. I don't do anything.
My storyline is,
here's my storyline. Yesterday I had a whole bag of Choco Raisins. Okay. And now my stomach really hurts. That's my storyline. Run with it. If you can't make it entertaining, then that's editing's fault.
It's a good storyline, I have to say.
Thank you. I thought so, too. It was like a real big deal, because the whole day I was like, oh, I really want Choco Raisins. And I was like, you can't have those because you're going to eat the whole bag. And that's not even just a candy bar. That's like four candy bars. You can't do it. But then I found an excuse to run an errand. And then the errand was right by the grocery store. And then I went to the grocery store, and then I patted myself on the head because I actually went to a grocery store and walked in, and the candy aisle's all the way in the back. So I had to walk all the way back, and you know, like I had to put on deodorant and stuff. So I looked cute. And then I left and ate the Choco Raisins. And I mean, it was like a whole thing for me. So I think it was a good storyline.
Why did the Chocolate Raisins people, why did they never hire Pink to be their spokesperson? Just give me a reason, just a little bit. I mean, it's right there.
Ronnie, what is the reason you are late today? Choco Raisins. That's the reasons. Choco
Raisins. Reasons.
Anyway, you don't need a storyline. But yeah, this is very Erica to not do anything all year until the last two episodes where she's like, oh, shit, I haven't done anything. And then she screams and yells and cries and has some fit about nothing. Like, it never makes any sense why she's even upset. And then, look, she's the whole reunion. She's had the whole reunion. So she's gotten pretty smart at how to play this game. Do nothing until the very end, then have a fit, then become the main part of the reunion. So, you know. Well done, I say.
Mm-hmm. So, Dorit's like, Erica, you have to understand, from my point of view, I don't understand. I let you speak. Okay, first off, don't. Don't what? Don't talk to me. That's you which way? What are you saying?
Don't talk to me that way. Let me finish how I feel. She's like, okay, finish. This is exactly why I'm in the position I'm in and how I feel. Okay, that's it. I really didn't have anything to say, but
that was all. That was, just one last little sentence. That's it. Okay.
Well, you unleashed on me, Erica. Yes, I did. Well, what was it that made you explode like that? Choco Raisins. Okay? And I'll tell you when I fucking lost it. Because you said Bulls has supported me more than anybody in this group.
Oh, God, again? You guys... Okay, listen. No more three-hour reunions unless you guys earn it. There needs to be some kind of litmus test. You guys did not earn 3 hours. We've already talked about this 10 times.
I don't know. I actually disagree on that. I thought this was a really good reunion. I was totally into it. I love this episode. I love the back and forth. I was on board, to be honest.
All right, well, good for you. Then I'll change my opinion to support your love. You guys, this should be a 4-part reunion. 5 more. I want to hear about Dorit thinking Bo supported her more again. Do it again.
The family of pigs that watches reunions together stays together in the meadow.
Let's be here till July. You know what? Have 8 more reunions. Okay. Let's do this until fall.
I really did enjoy this. I thought it was great. Well, because I think watching the three of them implode was like fascinating. And I do feel like they were kind of, well, I think that Dorit and Erica were really like saying stuff that was getting stuff off their chest. Kyle was just doing that. But guys, like, what about me? If people feel the same way I feel too, right? Right, right, right. So Kyle was being silly. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because these three are normally so protective and you know, they normally keep everything off camera. And it all just tumbled out in the reunion in a way that I appreciated. But I too, when it started, I was like, how are they going to get three episodes out of this season? There's like nothing going on this season. But they did it. They did, in my mind.
They sure did. Yeah, they sure did. So Dorit's like, you know what? If you had said that to me, I would have said, Erica, you know what? I have a feeling. I remember you said the same thing to Coyle and I at Anne Marie's house. We see a flashback to 2023 with Erica whining, with Erica saying she's been through something very tough and no one in the group was there for her. And so Dorit's like, I was hurt. And she's like,
yes, very hurt by that. Right. So then you understand where I'm at.
Yes, but the point is you're a hypocrite. Do you understand?
The grudges these women hold. I mean, when the fact that Dorit was like, yeah, but you said that at Anne Marie's house. I'm like, we're going to Anne Marie's house? Oh my God. Like, I did not remember this moment at all. Of course, they lived through it. They experienced it. But like the way she quickly was like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, you might be mad at me for saying that, but you said the same thing 2 years ago in this like random scene at Anne Marie's. I was like, what? How did you pull that out of your ass? I mean, obviously everyone does their research going into the reunions and like they're ready to counter, but like I really am impressed with how quickly they can reach into their vault of grievances and pull something out. Anne-Marie.
Well,
Anne-Marie's husband, by the
way. Anne-Marie is a doctor, so we remember things about Anne-Marie. She's a full-fledged surgeon and a doctor. So what about her husband? What'd he do?
Oh, more counts against him. It's not good.
What do you mean more counts? This is better than the reunion. What happened?
No, it's not better than the reunion. It's bad. It's just what it's kind like of more of the same counts that he had against him the first time around. It's not good.
Why won't you say it?
No, I'm just like saying because I, you know, it's like sexual assault. So it's like not like fun. It's not like fun in a funny recap. Just saying, yeah, like,
no, that's not fun for sure.
2 days
ago, Marcellus facing rape allegations by four more women. Holy shit!
Yeah,
wow.
It's bad.
Well, fuck that guy. Still,
yeah, seriously. So yeah,
that's crazy. I hadn't heard of that. Yeah. I need to make sure that my Anne-Marie Wiley Google alert is still functioning. Because wow, how'd I miss that?
So anyway, Andy's like, okay, well, now that she's told you those two things, what you said is, wow, I understand why you'd be upset. So is there anything you want to say in response to those two things? Do you want to apologize? And Dorit goes, I'll say it again. Apologize for what, Andy? And he's like, oh my God. And by the way, I do want to say that in the flashback, you do see that Dorit did not say, I've received more support from Bose this year than anyone else. She just says, I've received more support from Bose than anyone else in this group. And
what was the
bad
one?
Yeah, so I can see why she was really like, I don't know. I still see why Erica was like, what the fuck, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, I don't, because Erica wasn't even barely talking to Dorit, and Erica didn't even tell Dorit she had a boyfriend. Dorit had to find that out, and she only told Kyle and stuff. So I think Dorit had a lot of signs that these girls weren't her friends anymore anyway, and she's saying to Bose has supported me more. Bose has supported her more. Erica acting like she's so supportive. Where? When?
Mm-hmm. So where, Andy's when? Like, he's like, well, you guys should talk about it then. So Dorit goes, wait a second. What should I apologize for, the things that I said? He's like, well, she's saying that it made her flip when you said that. I know. Well, when you said that she was doing that for her job, so you want to apologize for that? Andy, I did. He's like, oh, you did? He is like this fucking bitch.
You did? Erica's like, where was that?
And then Kathy's just on the couch laughing and burping up baking soda.
It's time for a commercial.
It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, I did, Auntie. When she said that, I said, Erica, had you told me? I said I would have understood that. I said, I'm sorry. I would have understood. Had you told me?
I don't think she did said that. So she did say that, but that's okay.
She did not say that at all. She literally did not apologize.
Both of those things I would have understood. And I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. I did not understand how you were one person up until the night before. And then at 3 a.m, and not even 12 hours later, there was a completely different person that was right there. I'm like, that's because in the 12 hours since the night before, you guys went to a ghost town and had a fight and you drove off and she got pissed at you. And so she came to the dinner, pissed at you. That's why she was pissed at you 12 hours later.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know why Dorit doesn't understand these things.
Yeah. 12 hours later was when you left her in the godforsaken, you know, Walking Dead town in Italy or whatever.
I know. Seriously.
But I think this whole fight just happened because Erica was coming in on Kyle's fight. If Erica had had a separate talk with Dorit and just been like, Dorit, this being late is so fucking rude. Like, come on. But she didn't. And so Kyle is going at Dorit for a million things. I mean, like, well, Erica feels this way too. Erica didn't feel that way. The only thing Erica cared about was the being late thing. And that's the only thing she keeps repeating over and over. She doesn't care about all of this other stuff. And so when Dorit was getting frustrated at Kyle and then Erica kept piping in, it's like Erica's coming in to pipe in on Kyle's fight. And Dorit's like, shut up, stop fighting for Kyle. And I think that was completely valid for Dorit to be like, stop fighting Kyle's battles. Everyone's always fighting Kyle's battles. Just stop. So I don't know. I feel like Erica did that to herself. I'm still team Dorit on that. Even though Dorit is supremely obnoxious as a human being. And in this reunion, I'm still team Dorit.
Yeah. I think Dorit is very obnoxious in this reunion. Also very funny, and it's like really fun to see her just like being so relentless towards Erica and Kyle. And I do think that Dorit is, well, I don't have to repeat it for like the fifth week in a row, but I will one last time until the next time. I'm definitely team Dorit versus team Kyle, but I'm a little bit more team Erica and Erica versus Dorit, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I'm not. And I wish that Dorit had just said, you know what? I did say that you need to do this for a storyline because you literally had nothing going on all year. Sorry that you feel that you did, but you had nothing going on all year. And then you're yelling at me for Kyle. And now look at you. Now you have like a main part of the reunion. So it worked, but fuck off for it, for using me for it. You could have yelled at Amanda. You could have yelled at Natalie, that girl who's not even here. Yell at Kathy. Why doesn't anybody yell at Kathy? Yell at her.
So Dorit is now insisting that she did say sorry, which she did not say. We saw her and she did not say sorry.
We did not say it.
But now she's saying that she did say sorry. And she's saying how, yeah, like Erica showed up to that dinner 12 hours later, a totally different person. And Erica's like, no, this has been bubbling and building. Well, there is no sign of it. Well, that's because you were late for the sign. We put one up and then waited a long time for you. So we took it down again. And then you showed up.
And Kyle's like, you called her a cut fitness over and over again, relentlessly. You were relentless with calling her a cut fitness.
Oh, please. Dorit is really overusing that because the audience likes it when she says it. So now she's saying it every 2 seconds. Which is kind of funny.
It's like, I didn't coil. And she just said, you can call me a cut fitness 70 times and it doesn't bother me. So there, coil. Shut up, you dumb cut fitness.
Oh. Do you see, like, when she can say that, like, she's supposed, do you see when she can say that she supported for 10 years, you say, oh, only if she had said that. Oh, it's like,
Kyle, you just came in and you're saying something.
She's like, it's a completely different reaction to me than to her. Okay. That's not fair. Like, Kyle's going back to her main thrust, which is, it's not fair, which has actually little to do with Dorit's well-being. It's more about like, why are you being mean to me and not mean to her? It's not fair.
It is. It's like, why are you forgiving Eric all of a sudden? And now you're still mad at me. What the hell? This isn't fair. And so now the moment we've all been waiting for, a Sutton section. So guys, name changes are really hard, especially when you get a letter from the Pope about it. Sutton, talk about it. Talk about it for 10 hours, please.
All right. Well, I just do want to say that we are going to get to Italy in a minute. That's Sutton. Okay. It's not Sutton. I need to know. You buddying up with Amanda Dorit said that you did that as an attempt to score points with Kyle. She's like, yes, yes, with Kyle. Just in case you couldn't get to the end of that sentence, Andy, with Kyle. And Sutton's like, I mean, because Kyle cares. I mean, what is that? Why would Kyle care if I room with Amanda? Did you care, Kyle? That was pretty cool that I did that, though, right? That was nice of me, right? I am a loyal friend, right, Kyle? I see you got an opening in your trio here. Do you think maybe I could just slide on in because I stayed with Amanda? Anything like that? No. No.
Okay. I am nobody's minion, okay? But I will be your personal assistant if you'll just have me in your group. Okay.
I do like to wear an overall.
The answer to this question was so funny because Sutton's like, well, here's what happened. They made me. Production made me do it, okay? Because they were like, you know, you can room with Jennifer. And I was like, well, I shouldn't do that because she's like a movie star person, okay? And also, she smarted off to me one time this season, so I was giving her kind of the cold shoulder. Also, no one would do it, so I had to do it. Natalie wouldn't do it. And then we see a clip of Natalie, right? Is that her name? Natalie being like, she doesn't want a room with me. I brought my vibrator. Oh my God, Natalie.
Yeah, freaking Natalie. So basically, Sutton literally says, okay, Amanda. Well, when Andy says, like, what, like, why did you room with Amanda? Sutton goes, well, somebody had to do it. Amanda's like, thanks. And she goes, okay, Amanda, you're just going to have to take this with a grain of salt here. Okay. This one over here is a movie star. This one over here has been on the show a really long time. That one over there is really rich. That one over there I'm not going to room with. And they didn't want to room with you. So basically we drew straws, but turns out I was the only one who drew the straw and everyone else just ran away. And I got stuck with you, Amanda. But it was great. I loved getting to know you. Fun times. Yep. It was like the most backhanded response.
I mean, I'm just, what do I care? I'll just sit there with my headphones on and ignore her ass. Okay. Just doing my thing. I mean, who cares?
She literally said that. She said, I'll just put on my headphones. I don't have to hear her.
Dorit, on Watch What Happens Live, you called Sutton a social climber. Well, that is absolutely ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Do you believe that? Where am I climbing to? I'm already at the top of the mountain. Okay. There are stairs made out of bodies. I'm already here. Okay. Thank you.
That's right. I am established. And Kathy's like, oh my God, not a climber.
Well, listen, that's just part of her world. That's also why she combs her hair with a fork. And Sun's like, well, I'm already in a world. Where do I need to go? It's like, well, listen, I think you'd like to be invited to parties. Okay. And I don't know. I'm not in that world. So I don't really know.
Oh, yes, Tariq. Famously does not like being invited to parties, which is why she's always hanging around Kathy Hilton's house and is on this TV show.
Yeah, exactly. I like Kathy's like, you're not a social climber. You're a socialite. Oh, okay. So isn't that kind of climbing parties? Because you're always, listen, I only watch the Gilded Age. So
what do I, far be it from me to know.
A socialite's already there. Socialite is already of the tier. And is just now flittering about. The climber is...
Socialites are climbing, girl. They've got to be invited to all the parties. And if they're not, they got to befriend the right socialite. And then if they don't befriend the right socialite, then they're not going to get to go to the best parties. I mean, socialites are climbers, aren't they?
Well, I mean, social climbing may be part of their repertoire, but a socialite is already at living a life of leisure. In a way that an Alex McCord and Simon Van Kempen, who are like Bravo's original social climbers, are not. So like a social climber implies you're not in there yet and you're doing what you can to get up in there. And a socialite is just already there, already getting invited to things and just making appearances and taking pictures and is happy. But of course you must maintain your station. So it's not a job where you can rest on your laurels. But yeah, so there is, so there's always social climbing. Are
climbers, and I'm standing by. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I always say that when I have nothing to say. Oh yeah, I was gonna say Sutton, remember the plot line with Lisa Rinna where Lisa Rinna accused Sutton of being a climber as well. And she's like, she uses her money to get people to be her friends. And then it turned out it was Rinna that was using her money to get her to be friends, because Sutton always has a table at the Elton John AIDS Gala thing for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Rinna always went as one of her guests. And then Sutton was like, well, you never pay for a table. What about that, Lisa Rinna? It's like, I come from a place of yes. But it always kind of gave the impression that Sutton was, in fact, kind of a social climber, because she was she would be like, oh, I'm going to invite Lisa Rinna to my table, and then I'll get on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know? So she's kind of climbing in that way. I don't mean money climbing. I think that you're right. You know, there are different levels of it, but yeah, who knows? Who knows who's right or wrong? But this has been some stink on Sutton for a while.
And you know, when I talk about some stink on Lisa Rinna, you know, the disease of the moment, the pandemic of the moment, hantavirus is hot right now. Oh, have you not heard about the hantavirus? The hantavirus situation.
I can't believe you haven't told me about it. How long has it been out and you haven't mentioned it to me?
Well, hantavirus has been with us for a while. It's a thing, but the big news is there's this cruise ship, and there's a hantavirus outbreak. Hantavirus is really fucking scary and dangerous. Like, it's a really scary thing to get. It's basically like you get it mainly from like rat droppings, like inhaling particles from rat droppings or whatever, or like mouse pee. Oh. And like, it's what Gene Hackman's wife died of last year. That was a lot of press about that. So anyway, there's been an outbreak of hantavirus on this cruise ship in the Atlantic. And you really only get hantavirus by exposure to these things. But there's one little strain that can be passed human to human. And the strain is from like Argentina and Chile or something like that. And this couple came down with it and then got on the cruise ship, and they had the human to human strain. They died and they had the human to human strain, and now it's like a thing, and everyone's like, oh my God, hantavirus is spreading. But it's like apparently really hard to spread. But there's been like there's a hantavirus frenzy. And so an article resurfaced about rumors that went, I feel like we never even knew about this, but that there's an allegation. Nothing is confirmed. I think actually Lisa Rinna fought back at this, but back in 2022, on this one Instagram account, actually Dana Wilkie is the one who spread this. So it can all be blamed on her, the original hantavirus, Dana Wilkie. She posted something that said, a source is now reporting that while filming the show's 12th season, Cherie Zampino was bitten by a rat during an event at Lisa Rinna's house, and Zampino was rushed to the hospital where she was treated for exposure to hantavirus, a disease found in wild rodents. So Lisa Rinna on the hantavirus train for having a rat at her house, according to Dana Wilkie.
And this was what, 2022?
Yes.
Well, Lisa Rinna did have those rats in her house. That was one of her plot lines. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we got rats. They're in the house. They were on Mad Men. So we love them. They're very talented mice. They've got good angels. Okay. So now we see images of Sutton at the Met Ball, because now the fight is like, oh, well, Sutton goes to the Met Ball. Because Andy's like, well, she, you know, I just want to point out, with the exception of Rachel Zoe, she's still the one that's bitten to the Met Ball so many times. You know, it's like so many, many, many times, many, many, many times,
many times.
Okay. I've been to the ball so many times. I didn't even know that Bezos was doing it this year, because that's all I get when I go to when I go to the ball. Bezos, tons of Bezos all over me. People just love me there. Love me.
All right. Well, so I guess it seems like you're an actual socialite. And it's like, yeah, because it's only been you and Rachel Zoe, the only people. Excuse me, I went there in 2016 to the Met Ball. I went there pre-Kirby. Like, okay, all right, well, it seems like, okay, so you, but what I'm trying to say, though, is that Sutton seems like an actual socialite. Well, were you offended when I called you a social climber? And Sutton's like, well, it's not the nicest thing to say, so I apologize. Okay, you bought that?
So you put that apology sudden.
She goes, well, I don't really care. Okay, I don't care about your apology anymore. Okay, so your friendship's in the shitter. Will it come back?
I mean, we'll see, Andy. We'll see.
I just don't know. I don't know, Andy.
All right, well, let's leave it right there. And Son's like, oh, wow, by the way, look at me. I've made it through this whole reunion so far without one drop of alcohol. Isn't that amazing? Like, note that you're also at the end of the couch. Let's get that alcohol flowing again, Son.
Also, it's pretty sad when this starts at like 7 in the morning and you're congratulating yourself on not having a drink. Son... She's like, I do not have a bad relationship with alcohol. We are always together. Do you understand?
I've not even had a sip of alcohol, but I did have it kind of just like mainlined into my vein during lunch. So
I now take a little syringe full of it, take the needle out, and just insert it into my anus. Yeah, right. Works quicker.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
All right, well, welcome back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And this year, HBO's rebranded herself. I think that was a typo in the notes.
Bose. They were probably doing voice to text. So it came out as
this year, HBO's rebranded herself as a woman madly in love. HBO's is actually that's funnier and funnier the more I think about it. HBO's
Bose has rebranded herself as a woman madly in love, looking to expand her family. But when Bose felt knocked down by painful setbacks in her IVF journey, Keely was more than willing to ask if he could stop working. Let's take a look.
So now we get a Bose segment, and she's talking about how, oh my goodness, I'm having two weddings. I can't believe it. One in Ghana, one in Beverly Hills. Who did I let talk me into this?
You did that.
So now...
One's the real wedding, one's the one for this show. We understand how it goes.
Yeah, Bose says, so everyone's invited as long as I'm getting along with you. And Carl just makes like a, I don't know. Are you getting along with Dorit better than me? That's not fair. It doesn't really seem fair. How many weddings did you get to go to?
And then Andy goes, will there be a bachelorette and will there be strippers? And she's like, well, there will be a bachelorette. And then Sutton goes, I'll be in charge of the strippers. No, you will not. I don't need to see your Colonel Sanders strippers at this party. Okay, let's get someone else who can take care of this. And I don't think it's anyone on this cast who would hire a good stripper. Erica will hire the good strippers. I will give her that. But I don't trust anyone else here to do the strippers. Not a single one.
Well, especially Sutton, because she'll start crying in the middle of the party that the strippers aren't paying enough attention to her like she did at that Magic Mike show. Remember?
Yeah. No, this is not. She's not who we are going to turn to for strippers.
Yeah. So Rachel's like, yeah, you don't want to put me in charge of strippers.
No. They'll look like Noah Kahane or whatever his name is. Let's be honest. It'll be like Noah. Guys, it'll be like Zand strippers. Just emo guys in hats with like beards.
Yeah, totally.
And they're just not even going to take their clothes off. They'll just sing Mumford and Sons type music.
Or they'll take their clothes off and you won't even notice because they'll just be all, you know, hair. Yeah. And like Bush. They'll be like Afro Bush, like 70s Bush, you know? Like so Bush. Andy's like, okay, it's been a year of high highs and low lows. I was so sad watching the results of your fertility journey. Ouch. God. Boom. Got it. As a father. Okay, Andy.
Well, we're, you know, going to take it step by step and we're just going to keep trying. Just keep injecting.
Well, I want to say that, like, you know, like, now I get it. Because, like, I'm single now, too. And, like, single people, like, guys, when they're younger, I mean, they're not, like, teenagers. It's not like I'm dating Zanzan's friends. But still, like, younger guys, they're like, I want kids. So, what am I supposed to do about it?
I never thought about like what they would actually like want a child. I thought they just would want like a fedora and like a scarf, and I can provide that for them, you know. So,
These guys should have thought of that before they started dating 50-year-olds. I don't want to hear it from these guys. I'm so sick of these men who wait their whole lives, don't do shit because they want to keep dating. And as long as they can get hot butt in LA, they want to just keep dating. And then they turn 50 and then they start pressuring you like, well, I didn't have a baby. I'm going to need to have a baby. Well, you should have fucking thought of that, sir. I'll bet you pee like, you know, 15 minutes after we leave the house too. Oh, I got to pee. You should have thought of that. Okay. You should have thought of it.
Yeah.
Well, Buzz, fans had a strong reaction to the dinner that you and Keely and Lale had or in San Diego.
And so we see footage of that, of Keely being like, so how would you feel if I stopped working and I didn't have an income? So Andy goes, Pam Oliver on Twitter said, y'all are really not listening to these men, and they'll tell on themselves every time. He's setting the stage for when he no longer has an income. It's a red flag. And the coach says in the second half, they're just going to focus on defense and try to score some points. Thanks, Pam Oliver. Thanks for that. Thanks for chiming in.
She goes on to continue that she only used alternative names on Amazon packages and not on false credit cards. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't worried because we were sharing our vulnerabilities and, you know, he was vulnerable about, you know, not having a job. So, yeah, I've been independently wealthy for a long time.
He knows.
Knows. That's the point.
I'm independently owned and operated. And so
casino Morongo. I don't know. It's just, things are coming to my mind.
It's a lot out there. If you just sort of, the more you talk, the more you feel the spirit coming to you, you know, show me the, that's all I got of growing pains. I really only had those first two words. That's it.
That was three.
You're right. I got to a third word there. Maybe I should work onto it. Move on to a different property.
That is one more word than dollars that Keely has, by the way. But you know what? It's okay to be vulnerable when you're poor. And that's fine, Andy.
And he's like, well, you know, you were asked on the after show what you would say, Kyle, if your man said that to you.
And we see this. And Kyle's like, oh, really? Well, if he said, how would you feel if I lost my job? I would say, well, how would you feel if your penis fell off? Because it just did. Damn.
This is like, whoa, Kyle, geez. We're shitting on Keely, but like, this was Kyle's attempt to be like sassy and fabulous. And like, it just shows she has no ability to do it whatsoever.
Yeah, it's only worth it if they're rich. And Erica said, you're right. And Rachel's like, oh my God, you said that? Cause like, no, I was referring to him saying like, if my husband said like, what if I didn't have a job, would you take care of me? That's all I meant.
That's
what you meant, Kyle. It was a shitty thing.
No, I'm just saying like, if the penis fell off, I'm saying like, how it's like saying, how would your penis felt? What would it be like if you lost your job? Like, I'd be like, well, what if you lost your penis? Like, if your penis fell off, right? It's like a penis is on and then it's off. This makes sense, guys. If you think about it, it's like really funny, guys. Okay. I've been like around a lot of comedy writers. Okay. So like the penis is on, then it's off. It's on, then off. It's on, then off. You guys, are you following this?
Thing is that like, you know, if a man doesn't have money, then he basically might as well not have a penis or be a man at all. That's all I'm trying to say. Sorry if it sounded weird.
I don't think there's really anything offensive about it. I think you're like twisting my words to reach, and I don't appreciate you doing that. I mean, everyone else is making the penis joke. Why can't I say the penis joke without everyone getting mad at me?
Well, by the way, I think a lot of men equate their money to their penis. You know what I mean? Yes, that's why she said it. I'm so confused by this segment. I love that Kyle's such a gaslighter. She's like, no, what I really meant was exactly what I just said.
So what do you need? They mean they have a big dick and a big wallet.
And Kathy goes, no money, no honey.
All right, Bose, I asked you on Watch Happens Live, what do you think Amanda's good at? And you responded, scamming.
Yes, I know that was harsh. Didn't say it was false. I just said it was harsh. And Amanda's like, that was very harsh. You know, when you said that, that was like shown in my home. Like, that wasn't nice. It's like, well, it was harsh, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you are such a wimp.
Oh, You said the W word right in front of me, and we're close to my home.
I didn't actually mean it. I was pretty angry at the time, and I was like, why the hell is she comparing us? You know?
You compared you. You were the one who compared you. She was reading your own words. She was saying back your own words. And Amanda's like, when did I compare?
She goes, oh, you compared us a lot.
Tell me.
You said I was jealous of you.
So we cut to a producer asking Amanda why she thinks Bose is comparing herself to Amanda. See, the conversation came because you were comparing yourself on the ChatGPT in the bus. That was the question, and that's what she was responding to. So her reply was, well, my course makes millions of dollars and Bose's doesn't. In fact, she's losing money, and she even told me herself.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say you were jealous of me. The interviewer said, do you think she was... It's like, well, speaker four. Do you think it was trying to compare her own accomplishments in the series? That's what I was asked.
Well, there were so many things that you were saying afterwards that I was like, wait a second, I don't know if I like that.
Well, I actually want to correct that because that's not true.
Well, I was so angry I said you were scamming. But it was more like the fact that I didn't understand what the hell you were doing. All I could really tell is that you were scamming, actually. Now that I think about it, you were scamming.
No, I don't. And I don't think you're jealous of me.
Thank you, because I'm not.
Okay, Amanda. Well, Bose was one of the first people you spoke to about your business. And during that conversation, I'm wondering if you got the feeling that she was skeptical about you, the way that she kept shaking her head and sucking her teeth, looking towards the exit sign and doing the circular finger with her doing the circular motion with her index finger around her temple. Or did it catch you by surprise once the show aired and you saw it?
Well, I'm going to take this in part. And he goes, oh, boy. Why are you acting Erica like Amanda talks so much? She hasn't even said that much.
It was so funny when she said, I'm going to take it in parts. And he goes, oh, boy. Erica just looks at Andy like, oh, boy. Erica wanted to crack up. So
the way Erica does that robot move, she went.
I don't know. Like, Erica was cracking me up this reunion. What can I say? I have 10 years of talking.
Yeah, Erica's funny. Yeah.
So down on Erica, but I've been enjoying her. So Amanda's like, okay, well,
I feel like no matter what I say, it's being questioned. And there's no room to explain myself. So I love my stepkids as my own. Like, that's being questioned. Like, everything was being questioned. And Bo's like, no, 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 no.
Don't do that. Don't do that. No, 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 no. Don't do that. No, 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 no.
And Amanda's like, well, what did you say?
I asked if they were his kids, and that is very different from, do you love your stepkids? I mean, how do you conflate those two things, Amanda?
Yeah, but you said in your interview, I don't know about this, the kids having two moms, but that's the reality.
No, I did not say that. Again, you're misquoting me.
But how did I conflate it?
You made it sound like I said you shouldn't love your stepkids, like I don't believe that children should be loved if they're not birthed by you. And that's not what I said.
But I didn't say that.
And that's insane. I would never say it.
But you said they can't, you didn't know about them having two moms.
I did not say that.
Was that Bose in the interview? I mean, come on. Was the interview something about two moms? Somebody help me here.
And Andy's like, we'll find it.
And here it is.
These two
just have a semantics issue. Amanda,
they really do.
They're always fighting over semantics.
They really, really are. And like then, and the thing is that like neither of them remember the semantics well, because Amanda she refers to the semantics incorrectly, so then Bose can't place it. So she's like, "What are you talking about? I never said that." And then Bose like, "I never said that." And then it seems like Bose is lying. But ultimately, the quote was like, "I don't know how I would feel about someone." Like a stepmom coming in saying, these are my kids. I'm like, I'm the mama. Like those, like I thought what Bose was saying was, I think, benign. And it was just like saying she was taking the POV of the biological mother probably having a mama bear response. It was not her saying there's only one mother and you can never have more than one mother. She was just sort of being tongue in cheek about like, hey, yeah. Wait a second. Don't call your kids mine. They're mine. You know, it was like not even. Yeah. But of course, Amanda takes it as, you know, as seriously as possible to be like, she's saying that kids can't be in another family if there's a divorce, that kids should be thrown out of the street. And it's just like not nice.
She said that I should just take the kids back to the library and drop them off in the used book bin, Andy.
I did not say that.
So yeah, Bo's got one over on Amanda on this one, because that doesn't even make any sense. Now, as far as the actual really saying, like, I don't know if I want another woman calling my kid her daughter. I mean, they're babies and she's raising them, but still, yeah, I mean, I can see that. I probably wouldn't like that either. It'd be like grandma, you know, you need to come up with another name for that, Gigi or something.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's such a thorny issue with, you know, step-parenting, et cetera. But I have to imagine the producers said, how would you feel about someone else referring to your daughter as their own? Like, not me, you know? So I don't know. To me, I thought it was a totally benign moment that Amanda took very seriously, as usual.
Amanda takes everything very seriously. All right, well, let's move on to a sensitive topic. Uh-oh. Okay, so he's saying Amanda and Bose share something in common, and that's the death of a child. So this is a sad part. And you know, I hate fucking sad parts. I'm sick of them. There have been too many this week on Bravo. Okay, I've had to think of it. My mom dying. I've had to think of just too much to think about. Stop making me think like that. I'm watching Housewives.
Well, think about people. Luckily, dying.
Kids.
Luckily, dying. The sadness only lasts for 3 moments before it starts to get intermingled with pettiness over the word accosts. So okay, it is very. It is a sad moment. A sad thing, but now it becomes about Dorit and Amanda having their words at that party. And Dorit says, first of all, when I approached you, I wasn't looking for a fight. I was looking to understand. I was looking to understand how I could have a fight. And I think we had a few things going on at once. And I just left speaking with a psych. Oh, I'm sorry. Amanda goes, well, I think we just had a few things going on at once. I had just left speaking to a psychic. I was like, Amanda, okay. But she was saying she's emotional. She's emotional because everything was brought up. And so she used the word accost in regards to Dorit because she did feel in that moment, in that sensitive moment, like that she had been accosted.
She was like, you know, every time I had seen you before, you'd been really nice. And then all of a sudden you're coming at me. So it felt aggressive. So it was an attack energy, but you weren't attacking me. And she's like, well, you said I was accosting you. Yes, Dorit, but she just took that back. You know what I mean? Dorit's just ready to jump already. She's like, that's the way you interpreted it, accosting. And she's like, well, but we're talking about that moment. And I see why you felt that way. And no, well, I look back and I see why I felt that way. I love that Amanda can be so empathetic with herself. She's like, you know, I watched the season back and I really felt for myself in that moment. And I'm aware that you didn't know. She goes, well, I wish I did. I wish I did know at that point. I wish I did.
Yeah, but the point is, and they don't harp on her about this, which is bizarre, is that you knew it when she told you, and then you kept going and followed her even after she got up from the table and tried to start it again. Dorit, what the fuck?
Okay. Well, I think we made some progress, which is a lie, but I'm just going to say that so we can move on. I'm going to move on, which is also what I say when I want to move on. Well, and while I overwhelmed Dorit looked for support this season, Kyle's comments about her spending and her erratic behavior landed with a bigger thud than the plane Dorit boarded almost 2 hours late. Okay, that was a stretch, team. That was a stretch. And while Erica got dragged into the mess, things got so heated, even the Tuscan gelato couldn't cool everyone down.
So we see this big clip of all of this stuff. And Erica's saying, you know, there's only so much friends can take before they go, you know what, maybe that was not it. I don't need to be treated like this. Maybe PK wasn't wrong. And then Dorit, you see her watching the little TV in the bottom, and she's like, ooh!
We knew that was going to get played. We knew that was going to get played. I also like that in the middle of this, weren't they watching it? And at one point, Dorit starts going, are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you seeing this? What's happening? It's like, okay, settle down.
So Dorit's like, well, that's something else. These two women can sit here on the couch screaming at me. Oh, the shit. Not you, Erica, but the shit the last few months I was going through.
in the last 3 months. So much shit with PK. With my kids. I had to show up every single day. And I had, you know, to have something else directed from you, Coyle. From you. And you can sit here and you can argue about how everything is about the group. And everyone, Bo said it, and Rachel said it, and Amanda said it. Coyle, you went into the season with a plume. A plume.
A plan? No, you had a plan. That's not fair, because we both, you had a plan too. Like, that's so fair. Like, why is it like only you're allowed to have a plan? And I have a plan, and suddenly like I say one thing and then I have a plan too. That's not fair, Dorit.
Dorit, you don't really believe that, do you? Yes, I do. She had a plume.
Well, I've never said anything bad, ever. I've never said anything bad about you.
Then you just tried to insinuate that she was insane and erratic.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.